Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Notre Dame associate professor and journalist, Laura Hollis. The Satanic Temple of Chicago paid to have a statue installed in the rotunda of the Illinois Capitol, all part of the holiday display there, alongside the Christmas Nativity and the Jewish menorah. The statue, called Snakeativity, has a sign that reads, "Knowledge is the greatest gift." Few remnants there of Genesis. As far as we know, Laura, this was not paid for by taxpayer dollars.
No.
Have you heard a lot of outcry?
I'm in Indiana. I'm from Illinois. So I follow these kinds of things. And I would say, generally speaking, probably no. There are some people who are upset about it. And this is not the first place it's happened. I believe it was in the capital of Oklahoma that they put up an actual statue, not just a display for Christmas. And most people, I think, just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, well, you know, First Amendment, it's constitutional. And it is, if you look at it from a strictly legal standpoint, yes, it's constitutional. But my question isn't really so much a matter of legality as it is judgment. I think that we're not saying, okay, well, what are we actually espousing? And the Satanic Temple takes great pains to say, oh, we don't really worship Satan. We aren't really promoting evil. It's really about humanism and autonomy and all this other kind of stuff. And that's just historical nonsense. I mean, Satan is not known for benevolent humanism, to say the very least. So it's definitely a hostility to the Judeo-Christian ethic. And it's not really humanism and autonomy so much as it is just blatant selfishness that they're espousing. And we all know where that ends up.
Absolutely. What constitutes religion in the U.S.? I was just curious about that.
The Supreme Court has been very reluctant to define that. I mean, they will test things like, is there a legitimate belief here? And so there's been a couple of cases where prison inmates, for example, have said, my religious faith requires me to have steak. And the courts have said, no, that's not really a religious belief. But by the same token, we've had Native American tribes that want to smoke peyote. And they said, okay, we understand that that's definitely a part of your religious practice. So on the whole, one of the reasons it's there is precisely because the courts don't get into the business of saying, well, this is a valid religion, or this is a healthy religion, and this is not, or this is not a religion at all.
So any idea, Laura, where we go from here? Is it something that states might be able to set up clear? I don't want to go beyond the Constitution on this, but at the same time, I guess there's always been that idea. What if anybody comes along and claims some really weird stuff as religion, and then they are able to get these protections under that umbrella?
Well, in fact, if you're just talking about the display of a statue, then probably a lot of people don't get up in arms. But I think I mentioned in the article, there have been efforts to get satanic clubs going in public grade schools and middle schools. And it's the same kind of a thing. As the religious groups have gotten permission from the courts, they'll say it's okay to use a public building like a public school after hours, as long as students aren't compelled to participate in it. And so they basically kind of throw their hands up in the air and go, well, it's the same thing. Fortunately, I think what ends up being more protection than the law here is sort of a hue and cry from the public to say, you know, are you kidding me? So there was one little club that was set up, I think, outside of Seattle. And there was one girl that joined. It was very disturbing that her mom was like, oh, I think this is a great thing. She should explore this. But with one student, it didn't really go anywhere. So ultimately, we really can't rely on the law to protect us. We have to really sort of assert our own opinions on these kinds of things. If you get down to what the Constitution mandates or permits, that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. So what are some things that you recommend, Laura, that we do if we notice something in our own state?
A lot of the things that have happened, especially, you know, with the advent of social media, you know, you get public, for lack of a better word, public outrage campaigns going and sort of shame people, you know, out of these kinds of things. An awful lot of the things that take place on social media don't have anything to do with the law, whether it's people that are raising money for causes or attempting to shut something down that they don't agree with. And so I think, you know, people have to be active and vigilant and participatory. Because, you know, again, I think for a long time, we've all just sort of assumed that, well, everything will be fine and the law will protect us, but it may or may not do that. And oftentimes it's a last resort. We need to be more active and participatory in shaping the culture of our country as opposed to just saying, well, we'll wait for the law to enforce it. What do they always say? Law and politics is downriver of culture.
Yeah. So being proactive on social media and on the local level in our community with our neighbors, with our friends.
Yeah, I think with PTAs, with social service organizations, with local government, all of that. One of the things you can do is really go to websites, find out what your rights are. Don't be silent, because an awful lot of times what happens is people who are strong believers in the Judeo-Christian tradition or other faiths will just sort of stay silent, and then other voices become more dominant in the culture. And oftentimes it's because they don't know that you do have the right to speak up.
That's Professor Laura Hollis. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.